Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG call on the 16th of November. On the call today, we have Rafik Damak, Alex Kikuru, William Drake, Amber Stone, Robin Gross, Wendy Zeltzer, Joy Lidicote, Brendan Kubis, Lanu Ajayi, Rudy Vansnick, Maria Farrell, Ron Wickersham, and Konstantinos Komaitis. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Robin.
Great, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thanks.
Great, okay. Well, thank you guys for coming to this call. I really appreciate it, and I'd like to do these monthly open policy calls where we can talk usually a couple days before the council meets, and it's for the whole membership to talk about the issues that are pending before the council and other policy issues that we'd like to work on. And so it's really intended to be kind of a direct discussion between the entire NCSG membership and the policy counselors and the policy committee. So that's really kind of the goal of these meetings. And this one is really sort of special, if you will, because I wanted to spend the first hour really kind of talking about some big picture policy issues and really kind of doing taking stock, if you will, of what are the things that we need to really be paying our attention to at ICANN and the priorities with where we spend our time and attention, because there's a lot of things happening, and just so often we're just responding to whatever is sort of, you know, thrown at us, and it would be a lot more effective and productive, I think, if we could just kind of have some long-term goals and start thinking in more of a big-picture way. And so that's really kind of what I'm hoping that this meeting in particular can do, is to get us focused, at least for the first hour, on what are the most important substantive policy issues that non-commercial users have to face, are working on at ICANN. And so I'd like to start there, and then we can talk about the various motions and issues that are before the council this week, and Mary will lead that discussion, and then Maria will discuss the nominating committee with us for a few minutes, and then we can talk briefly at the end about we need some volunteers for joining the NCSG financial committee and membership committee. So that's sort of our agenda for the next 2 hours, and so let's return back to issue number one, unless anyone has any questions on the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Is that Bill?
This is Bill. Just a quick point of order. I'd like to welcome our new counselor, Joy Lidicote, who is here with us. Very happy to have you part of the team, Joy.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, in fact, why don't we just quickly say who our counselors, all of our counselors are who are on the call, just so the membership in general knows who the counselors are and can begin to look to them. We've got Bill Drake, Wendy Seltzer, Joy Lidicote, Rafik Damak, and I think Mary will be joining shortly. Okay, so and without further ado, I would like to actually turn this part of the discussion over to Wendy, who has been doing a lot of this sort of big picture policy thinking for us, and will lead this part of the discussion. Wendy?
Thanks very much, Robin. Wendy Seltzer, I'm
thank you.
Very pleased to be starting my second term on GNSO Council, and wanted to take the opportunity after our face-to-face meeting to do some strategic thinking around places where non-commercial interests are impacted by things ICANN is doing or could be doing, and to think about how we can work on these issues, where we might work on these issues, and to start bringing together groups of people who have particular interests and want to take on the day-to-day monitoring of these issues, management, and then work to bring issues before the group. So my thought is that we can use the mailing list for coordination, and rather than breaking off separate mailing lists, just include subject headers to distinguish, at least while things are low traffic. But that we should be able to have people focusing on issues and then bringing them to the whole group's attention when they hit critical points. The ways we can engage include bringing something up as a motion before GNSO Council, putting in comments in public comment periods, working as individuals, engaging in informal or formalized conversations with other stakeholder groups and other parts of ICANN structure. So with that, what a preliminary, I'll just jump into some of the issues, and I wonder if there's any way of getting the list into the whiteboard on the Adobe Connect for those who are connected there. If not, then I will just start. Big focus of discussion at the Dakar meeting was registrar accreditation agreement and law enforcement requests. Law enforcement had a series of 12 demands, some of them things like contact information for registrars, other, and abuse contacts, others like the strict regulation of privacy and proxy services, and abuse takedown procedures that would raise concerns for domain registrants, and particularly for non-commercial registrants who might be engaged in speech that their local law enforcement might find unattractive. And so we can work on that issue, and we've approached the registrars because many of the registrars are concerned about these demands as registrars and out of both business and customer relations and for some of them a public interest perspective of their own. So we can work with the registrar's constituency on issues of registrants' rights and due process in matters of domain takedown. We can also monitor some of the issues of a domain takedown that are occurring in national forums. Just this morning, I was listening here in the United States to House Judiciary Committee hearings on the SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, which in the name of stopping copyright infringement would direct anyone providing intermediate DNS services to block domain names, an opportunity for copyright as censorship. NCSG might not be taking positions on national law issues, NCSG members might be following those things and bringing pieces of the conversation from one to another. Within this registrar accreditation topic, I also see issues of registrants' rights and the best practices for domain suspension at the registrar and registry levels, that there are lots of working groups in various places looking at domain takedown for, we heard from the anti-phishing working group in the registration abuse panel at ICANN. At in Dakar, and I think the best way to work with those groups is to start thinking about the ways that we can help them improve their process and make sure that they are incorporating due process and fairness and appeals and transparency into the takedown process. We can also we can be out raising free speech concerns and at the same time recognizing that some of these things are happening and best for them to happen in a way that respects the interests of non-commercial registrants and users. So let me pause there and see if their comments on this general subject.
This is Bill. Is Robin, are you maintaining a queue either on the phone or via the Adobe? How do you want to do this?
Yep, I'm taking a queue, so just, you know, ask to get in the queue and go ahead.
Okay. While it is true that it would be awkward, perhaps, for us to be engaging at the level of particular nations' policies, at the same time, I would think that we could address the question, such as the SOPA type thing, by casting it more broadly as the need to maintain a non-discriminatory, open approach to these issues that's not based on anyone's nation's jurisdiction. So rather than, you know, sort of like us, you know, trying to be a big presence in the sort of, you know, beltway debates, though, I think we could at least key off of that, because SOPA is just part of a larger trend, right, of efforts to sort of apply national jurisdiction in ways that are deeply destructive to the Internet and impact ICANN issues. I can't see why we couldn't find a way to engage on those points. I think they'd certainly be ones where a lot of people would feel motivated to get engaged, probably much more so than trying to get people into working groups on IRTP, Part B, and so on. But I may be wrong about that. But I think it's an issue that one could leverage to promote greater engagement, and that it wouldn't be totally out of bounds for us to do it if we did it right.
Thanks, Bill.
This is Amber. May I be added to the queue?
Certainly. Yes, I think we've got Alex next and Amber. Anyone else want to get in the queue? Hey, Alex, go ahead.
Thank you. Alex speaking. First of all, thank you, Wendy, for that global policy overview. And before I go to comment to my few comments, I want to start off by, first of all, congratulating all new office bearers. I'll start with the Chair, Robin, the new councillors, Joy and Wolfgang, the re-elected ones, Rafik and Mary, and also thank Bill for his continued great work. Now, my few points are on how to leverage on greater engagement, as Bill put it. I think it's a great idea, like Wendy said, to have to be sharing the policies on the list with sort of headers to show this is going to, this point is going on here and there. I mean, that's excellent. But to stimulate further engagement, NCSG-wide members' participation, maybe you could also consider a forum sort of a web blog, like, you know, I don't know how it will be, whether we want to go the same ICANN wiki, and where we invite members' comments on issues that are happening that are dear to us, and then members could contribute. Maybe few comments, they may not be so good in all the issues. Certainly we are never very good on all issues, and that could create new engagement, and people who are to take the matters further can actually be more informed on what the members are thinking. Then finally, on the general list, maybe there could be occasional raising of the issues that are actually going on in that other forum, for point members to where maybe they can see and maybe relevant documents. So thank you. Those were just my comments. Thanks everybody for listening to me.
Great. Amber?
Thank you, Robin. This is Amber. I wanted to make a few comments regarding the RAA and the law enforcement requests slash demands that Wendy brought up. As a nonprofit organization, there's this fine line. Like, I fully respect that the free speech implications of these, but at the same token, the potential changes to the RAA as well as the law enforcement requests would also make my day job a little easier in protecting the fraud that happens on the internet for my organization that I need to stop. And then many of the MPOC members face that same fine line, because you can see it both ways. And so I just wanted to raise that to the greater NCSG group, that for these particular issues, many nonprofit organizations stand on both sides of the fence, and the same organization can stand on both sides of the fence on that issue. So I just wanted to raise that to your awareness. Thank you.
Great. Did anyone else, or Wendy, is it back to you, please?
Thanks, Amber. I think that one of the great uses of our discussion could be to find places where we can engage both sides of what probably isn't really a debate. None of us is looking to increase fraud or make it easier for fraudsters. And so if we can work together to find recommendations that would help law enforcement and nonprofit organizations to cut down on fraud in domain name registration and use without infringing free speech rights, without making it more difficult for legitimate and non-fraudulent speakers to be heard, I think we'd have a win. So let's try to get down to some of those detailed discussions, probably not right here, but in the follow-on conversation. I'd very much like to see that.
Thanks. I apparently spoke too quickly, and Bill does have a question. Bill, did you want to get in the queue?
I just wanted if Amber could explain a bit more. I hear what she's saying, and of course nobody wants fraud. So, but if she could explain a bit more than what she would concretely suggest in terms of our approach to issues, which issues she's thinking we should be moving on as a stakeholder group, and what kind of positions she would suggest we would be taking. Because I understand the general concern. I don't understand then what the next step recommendation is.
This is Amber. Bill, I don't think maybe I was a little unclear. I'm not saying that review of the RAA is not important. The NCSG should not engage in that by any stretch of imagination. It is a very, very important document, and it definitely deserves to be revisited sooner rather than later. What I am saying is that some the comments that Wendy's made, and historically within the NCSG, the views have sided on fair speech, free speech, which, again, very important issue, not discredited in the least. Please do not misinterpret me. But what I'm saying is more and more nonprofit organizations are joining the NCSG, which is fantastic. That's something where, as an organizational representative, I struggle with seeing both sides, because for me to do my job, and, you know, having some of those protections, you know, it's like you know, having the contact information is terrifically advantageous to myself to do my job. But then I can see the point that Wendy was trying to make at the same time. And so I just wanted to raise that for the RA, which should be reexamined, there are two sides to see on this.
Right, I understand, Amber. I'm trying to understand what the other side is. So you're saying that you would want the disclosure of information about the registrants and what else? Just so I understand what you're seeing is the opposite of what we've often articulated.
From my perspective and from the perspective of U.S. nonprofit organizations, or many U.S. nonprofit organizations, so yes, disclaimer on that, I don't think law enforcement's a bad thing. At least, you know, and so I hear Wendy saying, you know, their requests, which some got a little excessive, don't get me wrong, but, you know, using words like demands, things like that, I think that the tone of the conversation, I would appreciate if it was scaled back a little bit to have faster, more productive conversations to get to Wendy's point of coming up with some concrete NCSG recommendations to the RAA, and where both sides will probably more than likely be making compromises on those, because some of them, it'll be tough.
Okay. I was just trying to understand exactly what the concrete points were that you're suggesting. That's all. I take your point about tone or whatever. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got Joy and Constantinos.
Thanks, Robin, and thanks everyone for the warm welcome, much appreciated. And Wendy, thank you very much for that list that you've done to stimulate discussion. A couple of points. One, just picking up on the conversation that the points that were just being raised about law enforcement. As it with my own experience, I see actually more than two sides. I see many multiple aspects to law enforcement requests some of those relate to free speech, and some of them actually relate to freedom of association, the ability for people to organise freely, and also to protect themselves from criminal activity. So, you know, I think opening up to a range of different perspectives on the law enforcement request is important, and I just wanted to point that out and say, yes, that's definitely an area that I think we should, as non-commercial users, we should be bringing perspectives to, because, of course, monetary impacts aren't the only impacts for non-commercial users. The other things I just wanted to mention in relation to the list of issues you've got there, Wendy, was who is policy? And I know particularly in relation to developing countries and the issues that we're seeing, questions around anonymity and proxy registrations is becoming increasingly important as some governments move to use registration data in ways that violate rights. So I'd very much be interested in highlighting and emphasising that point. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Joy.
Thank you. I guess next in the queue we've got Constantinos.
Yes, thank you, Robin, and once again, welcome to everybody. I just wanted basically to reiterate what Wendy and Joy already said, and to bring also the perspective of privacy concerns, especially those of us who are located in Europe, and we have very strong privacy legislation concerning what should be public and what should not be public. We are bound by that legislation, and I would like and Amber, what you said, I think, you know, nobody, of course, likes fraud, and I would like to ask Amber if we can at some point see it, and because she's working on it and she sees the fraud, and from the non-profit organization perspective, to give us examples that we can possibly use in order to be able and create some policies and ideas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Constantinos. Wendy.
Great, thank you. Great discussion, and I was going through my list, my notes on people who had responded in the mail thread. I also heard Milton, Mueller, Tamir Israel, Amaral Sader expressing their interest in participating in that discussion. So I look forward to, and of course others can as well. I look forward to kicking that off online. The next major policy area I had on the list, UDRP review and consideration of other trademark rights protection mechanisms, often abbreviated as RPMs. UDRP, of course, is the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Policy, and we have a motion on that coming up before the council tomorrow that Mary proposed, and an alternative motion proposed by Jeff Newman from the registry's constituency if the first one does not succeed. And that's a proposal to review the UDRP, which has been ICANN's longest-standing policy on the books and has never gone through a review. I think my suggestion in putting this one on the list was both that we discuss the our policy position toward the review itself and what we want to do if it gets reviewed, because there are a lot of strong interests around the UDRP, a lot of interest from the intellectual property constituency in strengthening pieces of the UDRP to be less favorable to registrants raising concerns, interests in the interests that we've expressed as non-commercial in the past have been both procedural issues around the fairness of panelist selection, the fairness of timing deadlines, the propriety of panelists being able to serve both as panelists in a an arbitration and as litigants or representing litigants in other arbitrations, as well as some substantive concerns about the fairness of the terms themselves. Are there sufficient protections for users making fair use of trademarks in parody or protest domains? Are there sufficient protections against reverse domain name hijacking? The problems being that in some cases panelists seem to be too willing to take a domain name away from somebody who's registered it, even if under the terms of national law, that use of a trademark would be considered a fair use. Now, I think it's important for us to strategize how we want to deal with this review question, because we need to make sure we'll have enough people participating in any working groups that go forward, that we will be on top of all of the issues as they go forward, and that we'll be able to be effective advocates for the positions that we decide to take. I think all of that counsels toward keeping this a relatively narrowly scoped review to begin, not closing the door on wider review later, but starting with some of the procedural questions that we might be able to find consensus among other parts of the community. And I think we have to acknowledge that the intellectual property constituency and WIPO have very strong interests here. they tend to be very good at getting their interests heard, and we should be wary of setting up a process that they could take over to shift in the other direction and make the UDRP even less favorable to non-commercial registrants.
This is Amber. May I join the queue?
So that, I'm done with done with my overview. Robin?
Can you hear me okay?
Hello? If anyone can...
can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Only a bit. Yes, now.
Okay, sorry about that. I was seemed to be stuck on mute there. Okay, so we've got quite a few issues that we can talk about spending some energy on in the next year. We've got UDRP review and some of the trademark rights protection mechanisms in the new GTLDs and best practices for the domain name suspension. I know this is something that's going to be coming up in the GNSO. These requests from law enforcement to take down domain names.
Did you hear Amber's request to join the queue?
I did not, but thank you for alerting me to that. So I'll put her first in the queue then. And actually, I just wanted to open it up to get some general feedback from the membership in terms of, you know, where would you like to spend the priorities and our time and energy, the bulk of our time and energy in the next year. So, Amber, you're first in the queue.
Thank you. Wendy, I did have a few questions for you. I wanted to first ask how long you anticipate the review to be. This sounds like it's going to be a multi-year endeavor, which isn't a bad thing. I was just wondering if that was an accurate thought.
Thanks. I'm looking to see whether the motion says anything about that. Another of the reasons for scoping it narrowly would be to constrain the time that it would take. We don't want it to be a multi-year review and a review that could complete quickly enough that people could actually take its lessons into account for additional rights protection mechanisms as they're being rolled out in new GTLDs would be very useful.
Okay, so that's this is Amber again, sorry. Okay, so you're hoping, or your thoughts are that modify the UDRP a bit now, since the RPMs for the new GTLD program, no one will really test until, I guess, at the earliest this time next year. So you're hoping that changing that, because I thought the RPMs are kind of locked down at this point for the new GTLD program, and so my thoughts and my my constituency thoughts are let's maintain the status quo of the UDRP just because we all know it, flaws, warts, and ugliness and all, but that's something that everyone's familiar with and we know how to use it. We know how to fill out the forms. We don't have to pay extra for our attorneys to learn something new to get our work done, and then wait and see where the drawbacks of the RPMs that are associated with the new GTLDs and then take those drawbacks into account when addressing the UDRP. And if I could add one more.
Thanks, Amber. Wendy, here, I have been trying to be careful to distinguish between review of the UDRP and modification of the UDRP. We're asking for a review of the UDRP and its function without prejudging whether that means changing anything at all. And if the consensus from the review is things are working well, or even things aren't necessarily working well, but the devil we know is better than the one we don't know, then that would suggest not changing the UDRP, which could certainly be an outcome of this process.
Okay. I had linked review equaled modification in my mind, so thank you for correcting me.
Okay, so next in the queue we've got Bill.
Hi. It seems that we have a meta issue that will be a recurrent thematic as the two constituencies try to figure out how to work together on some things. And I'm wondering if there isn't a way for those of you who have a particular interest in this area to try to get together on a cross-constituency basis and brainstorm a little bit about how one balances the concerns with fraud and LEA-type concerns that Amber is expressing with the privacy and speech-type concerns that people from UC are expressing, because it just sounds like we're going to run into this over and over and over, and I don't know if we're going to keep having the conversation at the level of generalities, like, you know, whether law enforcement's good or bad, we're going to really be stuck, and I'm just wondering if there isn't some way for those who have a particular interest in this area to maybe try to brainstorm to the point of reaching at least some mutual understanding about where we are potentially able to have agreement on points and where we're not, in which case then it'll have to be constituency inputs into the ICANN process rather than stakeholder group inputs. But it would seem useful to try to take the issue on directly rather than talk around it in an abstract way. That's a general point.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Next in the queue, we've got Konstantinos.
Yes, thank you, Robin. I will be very, very brief. I would like to emphasize that a review of the UDRB does not mean anything else but just a review. It doesn't mean that it will change, and this is the point that we that was made also in Dakar at the GNSO. And also about the issue as to how the UDRB is connected, and, you know, we might want to retain it with its flaws and all the bad mistakes and until we test the new mechanisms. I have to say that this is an argument that at least it's not very logical, because we cannot wait until we realize that both the UDRP and the URS are not working and then start working on them in order to try to fix them. And there are ways to approach the issue of the UDRP. You know, there are both procedural and substantive issues relating to the UDRP. So I would really like to take up on Bill's suggestion, because I think that if we sit down between, you know, the NCUC and NFOC and all other constituencies and anybody else, we can come up with great solutions as to how to approach this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Konstantinos. Wendy, back over to you.
Great. Thanks. So continuing down the list, I'll go more quickly, not because these are less important issues, but because some of them are issues that others have been taking a lead on, and we can choose to whether to discuss them further here or further at the next call or online. Oops, and the list just disappeared as I was going to read through it. So engagement with developing countries has been an important piece of the JAS, Joint Applicant Support Group, work that Rafiq and Bill have been heavily engaged in, and Avery. I think it's an issue for NCSG to consider. As many of our members are in organizations and individuals who work in developing countries, I think we can help ICANN to work more effectively to engage the Internet users and groups there, and to make its policies ones that are sensible for all range of Internet users. I think I see engagement with the GAC. Well, there's no formal mechanism for the GAC to interact with individual stakeholder groups. There's also no formal mechanism for it to engage with GNSO Council. But at the council level, have been encouraging the GAC to get involved with the process there rather than simply giving advice to the board because as the GNSO Council is the place that GTLD policy gets made, getting the GAC's engagement in that discussion is a better place to be able to modify policies to fit places where GNSO and GAC might agree and understand the issues at an earlier time in their development than through simply presentation to the board. And I think the board recognized some of this by sending back in its motion at the end of the Dakar meeting, sending back the registrar accreditation questions to the GNSO Council, starting an issues report for a policy development process, saying that's the place where this issue belongs. And so to the extent that we have relations with we have or can develop relationships with individual GAC members and with the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee. I apologize for not spelling out more of my acronyms. We can also encourage them to see ways that they can sort of participate constructively in the ICANN process. Big issue. A big set of issues on the table and new GTLD rollout. If we have people, we were involved in the processes that set up the guidebook and eventually are getting this process launched. There will be lots of other things happening as it moves toward rollout and objection processes. It's a big place for people to be sort of keeping watch, looking for places that non-commercial interests are impacted, and helping us to put in the right comments and shape the process to make sure that that non-commercial interests are getting what they need out of the new GTLD process. Who is privacy issues, some of that we discussed under the registrar accreditation and law enforcement, and overall concerns about technical security and stability. We've been able to get good members participating in the security and stability review team, in the working groups, and since this is one of the places where ICANN is a core manager of the resource, if there are things that we can be helping with as technical experts, and places that we should be watching that security and stability are also consistent with the interests of non-commercial registrants and users. So that now does wrap up my list of items. If other people, and I'm going to try to put these onto the wiki in such a way that people can add their name. It may be the wiki, it may be the Ning site, or it may be something else. Trying to find a place that we can collect the names of people interested in these issues and coordinate the discussion so that different people can take over the monitoring of issues, reporting back to the group, watching public comments and other developments of interest, and then bringing that to us. thank you. Thanks, Robin, for giving me the opportunity to run through these and for the conversation that we've been having.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I really appreciate especially a lot of the work you've been doing to try to get people thinking about sort of this big picture and to collect volunteers and get the discussions going on the list. So, we've got a few minutes left on this. So, if anyone wants to, I know I've got Rafiq in the queue, and I want to open this up. If anyone else has any suggestions about where on this list we should put our priorities, or where we shouldn't, or how we should shape the agenda for these things going forward, I'd really appreciate it. So, Rafiq, you're next, and then please give me a hand or a shout out to let me know you want to be in the queue. I see Milton has his hand up too.
Thanks, Robin. So thanks to Wendy for the summary. I just want to make some points. For just working group, I think now the challenge of the implementation plan, which is still uncertain, as the board decided to make a working group, and I heard that it will also be joint working group with the ALAC and also the staff and maybe people from JAZZ, but nothing confirmed yet. So it will be like more issue for really few months till the launch of the new GTLD program. In relation to the security and stability, I am with two other people from the NCAG and the DNS Stability and Security Working Group. I will be happy to give updates as much as I can. We are still really at the stage to define what's the threat and for DNS. And I think we have also someone in the security review team. I think it's David. So maybe I'm not going to volunteer him, but I guess we have people already involved in some working groups and review team about security and stability. So we will try to, I think we can coordinate to have more updates about what's happening in that side. For engagement with developing countries, I guess it's more outreach. It's not really related to the JAZZ, because JAZZ is under the new GTLD rollout. And anyway. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Rafiq. Next in the queue, I've got Milton and then Joy.
Okay, this is Milton, and I'm just responding to your call for comments on how to prioritize these agenda items, these policy items. In my view, we've pretty much done a lot of the groundwork on the UDRP review issue. We have a statement, and I'm not sure if that requires a lot more work, except that I see some negotiation and discussion between NPOC and NCUC that could go forward to arrive at a more common position. So I think that should be prioritized in an immediate sense. And then I think the RAA issues should be our top priority in terms of that requires a lot of additional work making sense of all of the proposals and recommendations that are flying around. And in particular, I'd like to recommend that I've been talking to some registrars, and they really feel beat up on and misunderstood in a lot of these discussions. And I think we should try to understand their perspective better and make sure we're not making very simple-minded mistakes in terms of how we approach some of these requirements that are being placed or being debated about being replaced on registrars. So I'm not sure what the timing is here in terms of when these things come to a head, but I would try to at least plan some kind of joint meeting at the the Costa Rica meeting is the next one?
That's right.
Yeah, I would try to develop some very systematic interaction going forward into the Costa Rica meeting on that one.
Great. Well, you know, it just reminded me that I believe that the registrar's executive committee has sent an overture to us to start discussions on exactly this issue. So I think they're thinking the same thing.
Good.
Okay. Next in the queue, we've got Joy and then Bill.
Thanks, Robin. If I had to choose my top three in terms of suggesting priorities out of these, I would probably choose the engagement with developing countries, the domain name suspension, and also the UDRP review with the registrar accreditation law enforcement a close next. Just probably a request, I think it would help me to understand the calibration issues with those various topics over the year, to have a slightly better understanding of how that work will might roll out over the next year. And I don't need that now, but perhaps as a follow-up, that's something I'm still not quite clear about, is the relative calibration of these across even the next year or two. But those will be my picks. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Joy. Bill, you are next in the queue.
Missy. I guess, again, a meta procedural issue. I mean, if we're going to try to prioritize which of these is most important to us, we all have different preferences. I don't think we have to do that. I go back to the point I raised on the list. We can form interest groups. If you don't want to call them interest groups, you can call them teams. You can call them hullabaloos. It doesn't matter. But it might be useful in terms of fostering cross constituency dialogue on, for example, the meta questions of fraud, law enforcement versus privacy, free speech, on developing country engagement, on a number of these issues. If we were to constitute groups that had some sort of facticity, some sort of established persona, that doesn't mean that they're formalized bureaucratic structures or anything like that, but if we were to put them on the wiki or wherever we want to work these days and say, folks who are interested in participating in this particular dialogue around these particular issues can all join in and allocate their energies accordingly, then I think that would be a way of trying to advance multiple balls at the same time, given the diversity of interests. On the point about the engagement with developing countries, since I've been the one who's been shouting about this for the longest and getting nowhere, I was extraordinarily frustrated with the response of the board in Dakar. I was only listening in remotely while at another conference, but I did detect the usual kind of like dismissal of it as being an issue. I mean, these are not dumb people, but I mean, even like Steve would say, well, you know, what's the problem with developing country perceptions? You know, what's the problem with that? You know, and this was like the day after India had introduced in the General Assembly a proposal to have a new intergovernmental body that would have oversight over ICANN. And we've got the board members going, yeah, what's the problem? There is a broader set of issues here that goes beyond outreach, which is another issue, by the way, I think we have to talk about because there's a motion tomorrow, that has to do with the strategic orientation of ICANN in engaging with the vast majority of the world, and the fact that ICANN is still very much perceived. I mean, I'm speaking from Geneva, where yesterday I went to a little gathering with UN people, and they said, oh, you're involved in ICANN. They're the enemy. I hear this all the time here. People who live in the intergovernmental, developing country governmental universe really see ICANN in a way that people within ICANN just can't be in the grok. I still think the non-commercial people
could play a particular role, even if the board doesn't want our advice, in trying to articulate some of the concerns here and raise them, try and push them up the agenda, which is what we did starting in Nairobi with the applicant support. I mean, if we hadn't jumped up and down when Kirk Pritz was going through the spiel about the cost structure and saying, well, yes, everybody has to pay $185K, it's too complicated to do anything else. And it was Rafiq and me and Mary and Wendy and others that said, wait, what are you talking about? And Debbie, too. And then ALAC and people got on board. I mean, that's, you have to do that. You have to force issues onto the agenda, I believe, in order to get these folks to start the deal. And the fact that they would not even tell us what this global engagement group within the board does is, again, to me, annoying. I mean, I think that there should be more transparency. So, to summarize, both on the procedural point, I would say, why not think about forming groups that have some sort of identity that promotes some collective identity and focused work? And on the developing country stuff, I would be keen to reengage those who expressed an interest in doing an interest group previously and in trying to allocate some energies around that going forward. Thanks.
Thank you. And Bill, I really like that suggestion that we try to sort of, you know, to work in small groups that we don't necessarily have to all, you know, say, okay, these are the three things and we don't care about anything else. But you're right, we care about what we care about and we work on the issues that we care about. And so there's no reason why we can't just, you know, divide ourselves up into self-selecting, you know, we want to work on this issue, we want to work on that issue, and just, you know, get the ball rolling and start some conversations and producing some documents and suggestions. And so I think that's a great suggestion. Was there anyone else who was in the queue on this and had anything they wanted to add?
Robin?
Yes.
Terrific. Just maybe to help for, I do agree with Bill about having teams, so maybe if we can have some people volunteering to be focal point for each team, and then they can start to handle that and to really start real work. So maybe we can volunteer like Bill for engagement with developing countries. Sorry, Bill. And then we can go ahead and we can have more substantive discussion next time about those issues.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this? Or should we move on to the next agenda item, which is the issues before the GNSO at the moment? All right.
Great. So, Robin, this is Wendy. I'll take as my task from here to work with Bill and others to see whether there's something we can take from interest group structure that's useful and find a good way to continue these conversations and then post information for people who are interested in joining those groups.
Great. Thank you so much. So we should be looking at the mailing lists and the wiki page and try to do something in those forums. Get some conversation building out from this. Okay. Anyone else have anything? Okay. Is Mary on the call? Mary Wong, our GNSO counselor. Okay. Well, this part of the discussion, the next agenda item, we're going to go through some of the issues that are before the council this week. There's a meeting on Thursday. The GNSO council meets every month, and so we try to schedule these monthly meetings a couple of days before when the GNSO council meets, so we can also have that as an opportunity to touch base with the membership about the issues that will be voted on and try to get some feedback, some direct feedback between the membership and the counselors will be voting on some of these issues. So I've got, did any of our counselors particularly want to, go through this part of the agenda? Because, I mean, I can go through it, but I know the counselors are a little bit closer to it than I am. I thought Mary was going to lead this part of the call. So if any other counselor would like to, you'd probably be better than me, but I will fill in a pinch.
This is Wendy, and I have to apologize that, as I indicated on the poll, I'm not going to be able to stay on the call, but I will listen to hear what we've discussed about our meeting tomorrow. Thanks all very much.
Thank you, Wendy. I really appreciate it. Okay, so our looking at the council agenda, which is a link on the wiki page, it looks like the first motion that will be discussed is the outreach task force charter. Any of the counselors or anyone want to talk a little bit about this, what this charter is and what this motion and this vote will be? Do we have any counselors left on the call? Okay.
This is Bill.
Yes.
I was just suggesting why not have Debbie do it, since she was one of the co-sponsor of the original motion, and she's here on the call.
That is a great idea. Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about this motion? This one is the Outreach Task Force. Let's see.
Hello, I'm sorry. I am multitasking, everybody.
Yeah.
This is Debbie. Just really quickly, this is a motion to create a task force that will be a way to kind of unify the outreach efforts occurring within the JNSO. The task force is going to be comprised of members of the entire JNSO community and tasked with going out and coming up with ways to engage folks in ICANN, being ICANN ambassadors essentially, and then once you identify those folks, helping them find a place within ICANN and helping them engage. And it's a way to kind of like decrease the need to duplicate efforts that are already occurring amongst different stakeholder groups and other areas. And it's focused on GNSO-related activities. It's not outside of the GNSO, because the remit of the OSC that started this was outreach for the GNSO. So it's focused solely on the GNSO, and the idea is that those activities mm-hmm. would be surrounding GNSO-related activities and involvement. Hope that helps.
Great. Thank you very much. Was there any discussion on this this task force and this group and this motion?
Robin?
Yes.
I would like to get in the queue. This is Milton.
Milton, you're up.
Oh, okay. I heard another voice.
That's Bill, but you be inflammatory, and then I'll respond to you.
Me? Inflammatory? No, I just wanted more clarification from Debbie as to what exactly, when we talk about a task force, I remember task forces from when I was on the council, and they were a specific kind of animal under the charter, but I think that's all changed, so I don't know what exactly this task force is. Is it kind of like a voluntary working group where people can come in and out and they work on outreach? Are they asking for funding from the board? In general, I'm probably unusual in that I'm skeptical of these outreach efforts that are kind of, you know, they obviously, I think we should notify people about the existence of ICANN, and, you know, I actually do that as an educator. I have made many people aware of ICANN-related issues and GNSO-related issues. I had some student teams working on it this semester, and they're all, you know, it's always very new to them. Different people have different motives for outreach, and they outreach in different circles. And so my model of outreach has always been that people get involved in the GNSO because the GNSO is doing something that matters to them. And once they hear about that it's doing something that matters to them, then they get involved if they care about it enough to get involved. What the model of outreach I don't believe in, and which the higher-level people in ICANN who don't really have much contact with reality often promote, is that, you know, we just sort of generally, you know, the general public, somebody walking down the street will suddenly get interested in ICANN and devote tons of their life to it if we just, you know, encourage them to get involved. And I just view that as unrealistic and frequently a waste of effort and money because you're not going to get, you know, ordinary people involved unless they have some serious connection to DNS issues and they want to do something about them. So I don't want to be throwing a cold blanket on what's probably a very nice effort to get more people involved, but I just want it to be tempered with some realism as to, you know, what you can expect.
Well, I think that's really helpful in terms of getting us to think about, you know, focusing on groups who do care or will care or have reason to care about ICANN policy. And, you know, you're right, there are lots of groups out there that just are never going to care. It just isn't going to be something that, you know, impacts them in a significant way. But there are others who that isn't the case and that it does impact them, and they don't always know it, and they don't always see the connection. And so I think this is where perhaps this group and some of the outreach in general that we do is try to help people to understand why it is that they should care about the policy issues that are being debated at ICANN, and really trying to draw the connection between the issues that go on at ICANN and how they run their operations and what it is they're trying to do. So, I mean, I totally take your point that, yes, there are groups that are never going to care, and it is a waste to try to get them to care. But at the same time, it is, I think, a worthwhile thing for us to do, is to try to help others to understand why it does matter.
But isn't that something that constituencies do or should do?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely.
Open?
Yes.
Okay. So it's terrific.
I thought I was in line.
What?
Okay.
So I was in line to speak after Milton.
We've got Bill. Uh-oh. We've got Rafiq. Anyone else?
Don't let Bill speak.
Alex, please.
I want to hear Rafiq.
Alex.
Put me on the queue.
Bill, Rafiq, Alex.
Okay. May I begin?
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, good. This is one of those examples of why we don't have to have silly debates about priorities in which some people don't care about something and others do. If Milton doesn't particularly care about outreach and thinks that there's no need for it, he doesn't have to be involved in it. There are other people who do care about it, and they can work on it. I don't see a problem with that. If you look at the document that was put together, there are a number of things in it that I think are useful to take note of. One is that there's a clear recognition in the document that, quote, outreach to potential participants in the CSG is different from outreach to participants in the NCSG. Outreach to non-contracted party houses is different from those in contracted, and so on. In other words, there's some recognition among the group that it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. I don't think that what anybody envisioned who was involved in this effort over a long period of time was standing on the street corner and saying, hey, you want to get involved in ICANN, or simply sending Rod around to shake hands. They've actually outlined a number of different things that could be focused on, such as maximizing the use of the website and social media, maximizing use of events, communications and public relations materials, use of mailing lists and databases, yada, 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 yada. I think all those things are worthwhile things, and I think that it would make sense for there to be a focal point of energies within NCSG for those people who would like to take a lead both at the stakeholder group level and within the larger council effort on outreach-type stuff. And I would be willing to be involved in that, and if anybody else would be willing to be involved in that, we can form another interest group or whatever the hell you want to call it and try to serve as the focal point for the interface between NCSG and this effort, which will go forward. And so that's that, and unless anybody's got an argument against this document, I think that we should offer to co-sponsor it so that it can get back on the agenda and be voted tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Next in the queue, I've got Rafiq and then Alex.
Thank you, Robert. I wanted to respond to Milton. I was on that work team. I think we finished it more than 1 year ago, so I don't remember all the details. But I remember that we tried to list what kind of groups or communities that we should target for the outreach. So it's not that we are going to try to engage everybody, but really those who may be interested by policy making in ICANN. And then we also tried, for example, especially for civil society, etc. So it's not just as Milton trying to draw that as wasting money, but really we try to focus on those who can be engaged in ICANN issues.
Are you done?
No, just that we kept you. yeah, okay, please go ahead. Yeah.
I just want to say, look, I pretty much agree with Bill's perspective. It's you know, if it's just a question of creating an outreach working group within the GNSO Council or the GNSO as a whole, and the people who want to do that go do outreach, who can object, right? It's not a thing. I just don't quite understand why this is happening at the GNSO as a whole level rather than at the constituency or stakeholder group level.
And may I answer that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll give you an example, Milton. For the first 3 years of my time on the council, I've seen absolute zero awareness among the contracted parties in particular, but also very little among most of the business folks more generally, beyond Zahid, in the particular kinds of concerns that are involved in trying to do outreach to, for example, people in developing countries. There has been just no recognition that it's a problem. You've got people who are already locked into the process. They've got their interests. They've got, you know, they know where the money is for them, and all they care about is doing that. And they don't care if anybody new comes into the process. In fact, they're better off if nobody new comes in, because then they can just continue on as is. And so I think that the point of doing this at the council level is that it forces some consciousness raising. Olga and others who were involved in trying to steer this were able to draw some people in kicking and screaming and get them to recognize that ICANN has a problem, that that it is perceived as this little narrow, den of vipers that is self-replicating and is not reaching out to a broader community. And that was useful. And I think having a mechanism like this forces them to engage on that problem and to think about it and take it seriously, at least to some level. So that doesn't preclude purely stakeholder group level activities, but I think getting these other folks to recognize the need to do it and to try and participate on it provides an opening for us to raise a number of kinds of issues about how ICANN positions itself in the world, how it interfaces with the larger galaxy of internet users, etc. So it's to me a process of institutionalization that is helpful in and can be used to our advantage.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Next in the queue, we've got Alex and then Joy.
Yes. Thank you. Alex speaking. One of my experience, which I want to share, is throughout the meetings of ICANN that I have attended, is that I've always felt that I'm the only African attending, sitting through GNSO meetings. It was the case even here when the ICANN meeting was in Nairobi, and I would be wondering, and I wondered, why is it that we don't have people from developing countries, let alone just Africa, sitting through this? So yes, we do need to create more participation from people other than the same group that goes travels around the world, but is the same group and says, hey, we held a meeting at your place, but we need to get participation so that wherever the meetings are held, people from all regions participate in all GNSO conversations. Now, I think beyond just having the outreach, be it a task force or a working group, whatever form it's going to take, there is going to be need to address the post-recruitment into ICANN participation in these things. I engaged on this outreach a couple of years ago and got many people into NCUC, and their participation, their questions that maybe there are ways we could improve their participation, and I think these are lessons that we could draw upon to improve the future of how it's going to be. I just have two quick questions on the way forward on this. I would like to know how this task force or work group will engage with, or rather maybe I hope we'll clarify how it shall engage with the group, the working group that Wendy just very well put earlier. And the second one is how it will relate with ICANN regional staff, because I also know they have regional staff. I think we have Rachel for Africa. I'm just using an example. I know no other regions have other people. So those are some of the things that in the motion or charter or whatever will come out should be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Next in the queue is Joy.
Thanks, Robin. Just a question around the process and the way forward with this motion before the GNSO Council. I'm just wondering about a comment on if anyone's aware of the views of others on the GNSO Council about the motion, it's likely prospects quite apart from the position within our own council reps. If anyone can advise on that.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question again?
Sorry, I'm just wondering if anyone is able to comment on the views of others on the GNSO Council about this motion.
What are the other constituencies and the other stakeholder groups?
Yeah.
What are their positions on it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good question.
This is Bill. I think they are generally indifferent, and that is precisely why dragging them into this is worth doing. Because they don't give a damn about this stuff. It's sort of like the conversations we had around jazz. I mean, their early discussions around applicant support, really you got the sense from some of the people that we were dealing with that, this is a bunch of bleeding heart, you know, do-gooder, blah, blah, and who really cares? It's not the real meat and potatoes of ICANN, which is to make money. And we had to convince them that, you know, there were actually reasons why it might be good to diversify participation in the GTLD space. And similarly, we have to show them here that there's reasons why to get other people involved. So nobody has stepped forward. Stefan sent out a note saying, well, the sponsors of this motion are both off council now. What do we do? And nobody replied.
Hi, Robin. So this is Debbie. Can I get in the queue real quick?
So I hope we can, maybe Debbie can go shake up some people behind the scenes, but I certainly would support putting it back on the table. I'm just saying I'm not seeing anybody jumping for joy about it.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill. Debbie, you're up.
So I just wanted to mention that on the group that was drafting the charter, there was a member from the registry stakeholder group who was actually quite active. from New Star. And so it's not that that they're completely indifferent. And I think I really do agree with what Bill's saying here. But they did have a participant and an active participant. And I don't know whether or not they're that concerned enough to, you know, to want to second, you know, the motion or be a second sponsor, Bill. But I can say that that drafting team did have participation from the registry stakeholder group, and it was active participation.
Thanks, Debbie. But, you know, of course, that representative from New Star was also the person who was the most skeptical of Jazz and gave Jazz the hardest time.
So, I hear you.
Robin, can I speak?
Please, Rafiq.
I think that if they wanted really to kill the effort, they could do that before even creating the draft team. So I do agree with being that maybe, okay, they are not so indifferent, but they may vote for, so it should be okay, maybe. I don't see any problem for this motion, and maybe Bill agree, I can second it. So okay. To have that, okay, and then we hopefully we can get the approval tomorrow.
Okay, and I want to make clear. I mean, I don't think that they're actively hostile so much as I don't think I think for a lot of them it's just not a priority. It's not really something they care that much about. I haven't heard anybody actively say no. There was some pushback on the early versions, if you remember, when Olga's group came forward with some initial suggestions. I mean, they were, you know, they'd thrown everything in there. They were going to steer people to the summer school and internet governance, and they were going to do all this kind of stuff. And a lot of that got scaled back and pared down to a more sort of, you know, neutral, procedural kind of thing, which could turn into blah, blah, or it could be taken seriously. But first thing is we have to put it up. So I will write to the list and say we support it then.
Okay, was there anything else on this outreach task force issue that will be voted on tomorrow? Or council? It looks like that now will be Bill's going to be a sponsor of. Okay, if there's nothing more on that, let's go on to the next issue that's before the council tomorrow, which is the UDRP motions. There's a motion that's been put forward by Mary and Wendy, and Konstantinos has also done a lot of work on drafting that and putting that forward. And there's also been a motion that was put forward by Jeff Newman of the registry constituency on this issue. So I'm actually going to ask Konstantinos if he could tell us a little bit about this motion and this issue.
Yes, thank you, Robin. It will be very briefly. I'm sure that you will be able to see the two motions. In the car, we discussed, as we had the discussion previously, as to what we need to do with the UDRP. The motion that is being proposed by Mary requests the GNSO to approve the initiation of a PDP on the UDRP and the establishment of a working group. And the idea is to go through the UDRP and see basically whether it needs to be modified. At this stage, we're not even talking about modification. The competing motion that is being proposed by Jeff, which is the registries, they're also suggesting the initiation of the PDP, but the difference is that they say that this needs to happen within 18 months of, I think that, let me see very quickly, I think it is, no, within 18 months of tomorrow, as of tomorrow. So this is just the only difference. As far as my understanding is that a PDP will be initiated. So at this stage, it is an issue as to whether it will be initiated tomorrow or the council will wait 18 months before it is initiated, and in that case, another issues report will have to be drafted and submitted to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Konstantinos. Has there been any discussion? Does any councilors know if there have been has been any discussion on the council list on these motions, or you know, maybe just some discussion in the hallways or whatnot about what's the sense for where the council is on this issue? Yeah, I know that these motions were just put forward at the last minute before it could be put on the agenda for tomorrow, so I wouldn't be surprised if there hasn't been a lot of discussion on the list thus far on these issues. Okay, did any of the membership or the other councilors have anything to add on this motion? Okay, I see Joy has her hand up. Joy, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. And just as somebody sort of new to the discussions in terms of the motions, there was some discussion amongst those who are working with Mary on the motion that she's tabled about how to propose options for possible the possible scope of the motion for reviewing aspects of the UDRP, listening to some of the concerns that were raised by the issues paper and by other constituencies about the sort of tsunami-like feeling that appeared to arise any time any discussion of the whole of the UDRP was raised, and thinking about whether there might, for example, be aspects either particular aspects of the UDRP which could be sensibly looked at within the 18-month period while the new GTLDs are being rolled out, or whether particularly, categories of dispute, for example, or particular aspects of process which would be unrelated or unaffected, if you like, by the new GTLD program, but which could sensibly be considered, if you like, in the meantime, and hence the motion that Mary worked on proposed that there be the development of some draft terms of reference for that, so that work could be done on options rather than having a sort of a blank a stark choice between go now or go later. So, if membership have any comments or thoughts about that, then that would also be useful for us to know about. That was my comment.
Thank you very much. Any other members or councillors have anything they want to add on this UDRP issue? So I guess we'll just have to listen to the council meeting tomorrow and see what the other stakeholder groups and the other constituencies to say on this issue. Okay.
Robin, did you have a question? I mean, I'm not sure what you're looking.
I'm trying.
You're groping for something, and I don't know what you're groping for. There's a motion. We support the motion, right? I don't know whether would we support Jeff's counter motion. I don't think we've talked strategy on this clearly, have we?
No, we certainly haven't.
Shall we?
I think we should.
Okay.
That's what this call is for.
Okay. Well, then we could do that.
Okay. So, please, Bill, what do you recommend?
I recommend being jerks and not supporting Jeff's motion because Mary, I believe, formulated this motion in consultation with lots of folks and through a fairly open process, and Jeff could have worked with her and I don't see how his is better.
Let me stop you there for a second, because it looks like that only if the first motion is not approved, then Jeff's motion goes forward, as I look at the council agenda. So I think Jeff's motion is more of a fallback, like in case Mary's motion doesn't pass.
Was that the way it was formulated, that it was a fallback?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the
it's motion three, so we do proceed, but the point is, people may hold off on motion two because they prefer motion three. So that doesn't make it a fallback. That makes it an alternative.
Well, it depends on how people feel. It could be that way, or it could be that if in the case you can't get enough support for all of the things in motion two, then at least you can get us enough support for the things in motion three. I don't know. I mean, I'm asking the counselors to tell us.
Okay, well, Jeff's resolved is approves initiation of a PDP in a working group on recommendation 7 of IRTP Part B working group concerning the requirement to lock a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. And let's see, Mary's approves an initiation of PDP on the UDRP and establish a working group review generally, right? And then has a separate resolve that further the working group will consider inter alia that point that Jeff. So Jeff is much narrower, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. And so Jeff's basically saying, you know, okay, we may not get a real review of the UDRP, but then we could settle for just this one bit. And it might be that the folks who don't want a real review would then hold off and say, well, then we'll support Jeff's alternative. And my question is, would you then want to say, well, okay, we'll take that Jeff's bone, or would you want to say, wait a minute, this is window dressing and this doesn't really solve all the issues and so on? I would like to hear Constantinos on this point, if I could.
Yes, I think that the first step would need to be to support Mary's motion, but I suspect that motion is going to fail because there is not support for, there is not widespread support, if you want, for the UDRP to start the process right now. So the main difference, my understanding between the two motions, is that Jeff is essentially proposing the same, only he provides a time frame for that of 18 months. So maybe we can amend Jeff's motion and bring it out to a year, and maybe we can possibly do what we were discussing in Dakar, which is first to focus on the procedural issues and then go with the substance. So I am not sure whether this is something that it will go down well, but this is possibly one of the ways we can approach it. But in any case, I personally feel, and I think that is the feeling that has been discussed in Dakar as well, that no matter what, we need to start the process. So if it is after 18, what I'm trying to say is that I wouldn't not vote in favor of Jeff's motion, because otherwise it means that Jeff's motions might not even pass and we don't start the process at all.
You wouldn't not vote for it.
You would vote for it.
No, I mean, I would, you know, I would vote for
you
it.
You would vote.
Yes.
Okay. But what I'm asking,
Mary doesn't pass.
Right, I understand. But my point is that in voting terms, things can get strategically linked. And in a way, if people believe you're gonna vote yes on Jeff's, they may find it easier to vote no on Mary's. Anyway, but my question is, Constantinos, I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, because I've just poured my first glass of wine for the evening, which is, by the way, an amusing Volnay, I recommend. I look at this, and it's unless I'm reading it wrong, it says, GSO approves initiation of a PDP and establishment of a working group on Recommendation 7. That sounds like a PDP on Recommendation 7. Am I reading that wrong? Is it actually a PDP on the whole thing and an establishment of a working group only on Recommendation 7? Do you understand my question?
Yes, I think I do, and I read it the same way
yeah.
you do.
Mary says, GSO Council approves initiation of a PDP on the UDRP and the establishment of a working group on UDRP review.
Well, that's a very good catch, Bill. I would, yes,
right?
I would pressure for that.
Jeff says it's a PDP and working group on Rec 7. That's how I read it.
Yes, no,
so that's
no,
a very
no,
different
I mean,
scope.
This. We would need to propose an amendment to widen this to something that we would be in favor of. It is what I think I'm hearing.
And not only that, I mean, Jeff's recommendation seems to be making the UDRP an additional issue of what the recommendation 7 talks about and what the working group will be dealing with. I personally feel, and I'm speaking right now in my personal capacity, that we need to have a working group and a PDP specifically designed for the UDRP.
I would really appreciate it if the UDRP / intellectual property junkies in our group would take a close look at this text and provide further clarification prior to the call tomorrow, because I think that Mary's not on the call. Rafiq and I are probably, we're not deep inside the UDRP.
Joy's on the call, so Joy.
Wendy's gone. I thought Wendy hung up.
Joy, I'm saying. Joy.
Joy.
I will speak to Wendy.
And Wolfgang doesn't know either. He's off the line right now. I just got dropped.
No, I can hear you, but somebody got.
No, I can hear you.
Somebody's beeping or buzzing.
Somebody.
That's beeping.
Operator, can you help with that beeping and buzzing?
Yes, one moment, please.
Okay, I will liaise right now with Wendy.
Joy. And others, and provide guidance.
Wendy and Mary, and so we can get our.
Yes,
you know,
I will just email, you know, everybody. Okay.
Because it sounds like, I mean, we want Mary's to pass, but we don't know that that's going to happen. In which case, we need to make sure that the second motion looks like something can be amended to be something that we can support. Or we vote no. No, so, but.
And my point is not only is there a difference in scope, but just strategically. My guess would be contract party people will vote for Jeff's, if anything, and not vote for Mary's because Mary's is coming from, it has no second, and it's coming from, you know, those crazies. And so do you want Jeff's to be strengthened? Do you want Jeff's to look inadequate and go down? Would you rather defeat that or settle for it? This is what I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of question we had with the REA thing. You didn't like the outcome of the REA stuff, but the point was we at one point basically kind of decided that we would, that if the registrars wanted to, shoot down any and all transparency efforts, we should make them stand up and do it in public. And so we didn't alter the stuff, and we just went for it, recognizing that it would go down in flames. So do you want to go down in flames, or do you want to try and salvage Jeff? So please move us, Bill.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And unfortunately, most of the expertise that we need for this issue is not on this call, so we're going to have to take it to email, and we'll have to do it quickly because I know this meeting is tomorrow. But I agree that we should try to get this, our heads wrapped around what to expect, and if we can, strengthen Jeff's motion to be something that we could support, if assuming the first one doesn't go forward. So, hey, that's a good idea. Did anyone else have anything on this issue? Okay. Hearing nothing, let's see what the next issue for a vote on the council is tomorrow. Let's see. On the RAA, a vote on that. Okay, it looks like those are the issues that are up for a vote. There's another issue that's up for discussion that I think we might be interested in, which is the best practices to address abusive domain registrations. In February, the council resolved a request for a discussion paper on non-binding best practices to help registrars and registries address the abusive registration of domain names in accordance with the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group final report. So there's a report. There's a link to it there on the wiki. And I guess the question is, do they need to put the paper out for comment? Do they want to create a drafting team to create a charter? So I just wanted to open this discussion up on best practices to address abusive domain registrations and try to get some kind of feedback from the membership as to how they'd like this issue to move forward, and then also if the counselors have any guidance on this issue as well, I'd really appreciate it. Does anyone would like to be in the queue?
Robin, this is Amber.
Sorry.
I was answering an email and got distracted, and I heard abusive domain name registrations, and clearly my ears perked up. What's the context for this again? What was the context for this?
So I'm looking at the agenda for the GNSO Council meeting tomorrow, and this is item 6 on the agenda. There will be a discussion on best practices to address abusive domain registrations. And so there was a discussion paper that staff put out in September, and now the question is out there is whether or not a working group should be formed as a result of the discussion paper. Do they need a drafting team, create a charter, you know, just kind of sort of a general, what do we do with this discussion paper next? Which direction should it take? And so there isn't going to be a vote on this tomorrow, but there will be some discussion. So it sounds like it's kind of a new issue coming to the council, and so I was hoping to get some kind of feedback here from the membership and from the counselors as to this particular issue. So if you've got some,
I have not had the opportunity to read
to
the.
Share. Okay.
Yeah, I have not had the opportunity to read the September paper. I'm trying to find it right now, so I will table myself.
Okay. Was there anyone else who had any thoughts on this? All right. So I think we should sort of be aware that it is, you know, an issue that's coming before council. Things may be happening. So let's all read this paper and see if it's something we need to work on. Okay. So those were the main issues that will be voted on, or the only issues that will be voted on tomorrow on the council meeting. So those were the only things to discuss with respect to tomorrow's council meeting. Did anyone else have anything to add on the GNSO council meeting before we move on to the next agenda item, which is the nominating committee discussion? Okay, great. Maria Farrow, are you on the call? Maria Farrow is the representative to the nominating committee from the non-commercial users constituency, and so I was hoping that this would be a chance for Maria to tell us a little bit about what the nominating committee is doing. I know we've got a lot of new members who haven't heard this before, and there are a lot of positions that are up for appointment by the nominating committee right now, and I know the various members of the nominating committee are looking to the memberships and the stakeholder groups and the constituencies to try to help find good candidates to put forward. Marie, are you on the call? Oh, she seems to have disconnected. Okay, well, then I guess I'll try to fill in her stead. I won't have a Irish accent, I'm sorry. I can try. So we've got positions for board seats and positions for GNSO council representative positions with the at-large community, positions with the CCNSO are all filled by appointment by the nominating committee. And again, the nominating committee is made up of individuals from all the different parts of the ICANN community. And, you know, I have always kind of thought of the nominating committee as sort of the wild card place, where the people that come out of that are appointed from the nominating committee are not supposed to represent any one single perspective or advocate a particular viewpoint, but really are just, you know, supposed to be kind of a wild card and to put some balance and some more neutral perspective into the discussions where we've already got the various stakeholder groups represented. So I think, you know, the nominating committee is really sort of an interesting wild card neutralizer, if you will. I think it has and is very important because there are a lot of positions that the nominating committee fills by appointment. So we really need for the membership to be thinking about who would we like, you know, who would be great to be on the board, who would be great to be on the GNSO council, and see if we can encourage those people to put their names forward to the nominating committee to apply you know, kind of help bring them into the process and steer and help those applications go forward. So this is just something that I think we all need to be thinking about on a more systematic basis when we can think about somebody who has, you know, a great perspective and good leadership skills and the time and energy to donate, that we try to encourage them to put their names into the hat for the nominating committee, because again, you know, the board is made up of many members of the nominating committee, and so if you really want to have an influence in the policy outcomes of ICANN, you have to have an influence in who the leadership teams are, which is something that the nominating committee chooses. So it's really important that we think big picture and think all the time about who would be good for the nominating committee and try to get these people to apply. So did anyone else have anything to add on that, on the nominating committee and putting some names forward and getting the membership thinking about it?
Hi, Robin. This is Bill. You know, I think we're reaching the end, and people are dropping off, and everybody's burnt. But this obviously is something that it would make sense, perhaps, to have a small group focus on. If people want to toss some names in their direction, we can do that too. But I mean, it would be useful on any of these items to have somebody taking, like, a lead.
Yes.
And being an identifiable lead for discussion that others can cluster around, and
yes,
and again, using the web resources to support them.
And I think in this case we've got a lead, and that's Maria Farrell. And so, you know, we should really look to her to bring these names forward when we've got questions about the positions. To, you know, she's really the person
right
to go to on this. But I like your suggestion that, you know, if we've got a small group of people who really want to focus on this and coming up with good candidates, that would be fabulous. And
well, we got to ping Maria to get her to do some outreach on that. She could send a message to the members list and invite people to join her and then, you know, form a group.
Yep, sounds like a plan. A great plan. Anyone else have anything on this? All right, hearing nothing else. The only other thing on the agenda, and I'm just going to be really brief, I just want to basically open it up, is that under the NCSG charter, we create a NCSG financial committee made up of representatives from the constituencies, and so we've created this committee now, but, you know, we sort of need to fill it with more people and with more of a plan. So under the charter, this committee is supposed to be coming up with a fundraising strategy for NCSG and working with the ICANN staff about budget allocations and resource allocations. When we need to have a meeting, when we need to make use of resources, having this a group of people who are dedicated to making sure that happens is really important. And so the financial committee is set up as with two representatives from. With one representative from each of the two recognized constituencies and an observer from the candidate constituencies, and then they can select a chair, and then this committee can also invite other people to participate. And that's kind of what I'd like for us to be talking about right now is who else do we want to be on this committee? The constituencies have appointed a person to each represent them. But again, this is something that we're opening up to others who are interested, who have expertise. I mean, we really need people who have expertise and who have some knowledge and experience with fundraising and perhaps writing grant applications and accounting and things like that, who can actually help to develop a fundraising strategy and manage those funds going forward should they come in. So this is really kind of a call for people to let us know, let the members of the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group Executive Committee, either your own constituency's representative, which is, if you're in the NPOC, I believe it is Klaus Stoll, and if you're in NCUC, it is Milton Mueller. So you can either let your executive committee representative to that committee, to the financial committee, know if you're interested in participating, or let me know, or send a note to the list. But we will need help to try to do some fundraising, develop a plan, and manage that. So if anyone has any suggestions, would like to volunteer, please, we could use your help. And sort of the same thing is true with respect to trying to come up with some people to do work on membership. This is in line with the membership committee that the GNSO is putting up that we talked about earlier in the call. If there are people within NCSG that want to work on that, for example, that could really devote their time to membership issues, that's really what would be helpful is people who wanted to work specifically on some membership issues and bringing in new members. And then also once the new members have brought in, some orientation, because a lot of times I think we get new members and they're added to the mailing list and then they're just kind of like overwhelmed. You know, I don't know where to begin. I don't know how to get involved. I don't know what issues I care about that matter to me. And it's a bit overwhelming. And so, you know, and with all the acronyms and the different groupings and whatnot, it's very confusing. So I think if we could have also this membership team of people, in addition to working on bringing in new members, but also helping with an orientation and helping new members to understand, okay, these are the working groups and that you can get involved in, and this is how you get involved, and you know, just kind of a step-by-step plan for if you care about this issue, maybe you want to work on this. If you care about this issue, here's something that you might want to put some time and energy into. So this is really kind of an open call for volunteers and for discussion too about how to frame this for people who want to help us with membership and also with the financial committee. So I'm just going to sort of open that up there. We've got 2 minutes left of the call for any discussion or conversation on these.
Robin, may I make a comment? This is Amber.
Yes, please. Amber, go ahead.
And I am not putting myself up for any committee work because you know I am unresponsive right now, which is terrible. But talking about new members and getting them incorporated, there were 60 emails sent to the list in the last 36 hours to the NCSG discuss list. And for someone coming into something, like just the sheer volume, it can be daunting on top of the ICANN acronyms on top of. And so I just want to toss that out there that while, I mean, conversation is clearly fantastic, just the sheer volume is quite daunting.
Yeah, no, I completely understand it. You know, for someone who's even been involved in ICANN
right.
for a number of years, it's a bit, especially lately, it's been a bit much. So I point. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I'm on a different point. So back to the outreach task force. John from the BC just wrote on the council list that they're opposed to the outreach task force proposal because they see it as not putting the money into the hands of the constituencies where it belongs. And so, which is consistent with some other conversations we were having, and characterizing the language, saying that there should be a consolidated approach to outreach as, quote, centralized command and control. And so they only want to have support for Objective 3, that a survey should be done of existing outreach activities. And they don't want to create anything beyond that. So you were asking whether there was pushback and opposition, and the answer is apparently yes.
And this was from the BC, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
And this is after I wrote to the list saying I'm willing to sponsor. So apparently we're going to have a conversation tomorrow.
Well, Bill, this is Amber again. Receiving Marilyn Cave's emails regarding her proposal for, you know, support, I think she might see this as overlapping. So that might be the basis of her concern, but this is Amber's assumption of Marilyn's wishes so clearly, you know.
Right. But I would think that they're actually separate activities. Don't you?
Yes, but I'm just saying that she could see this as close
okay.
enough that. So that
okay,
might
but,
be the basis of the objection, might be.
Okay. That could be, yes. But I don't think the world revolves around Maryland, so I'm not going to – I still would support the existing proposal.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm just saying motives potentially
right, right.
could be one of them.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to add? Or, seeing we're 2 minutes after the hour, should we call it a day? All right, hearing nothing further, I will call this meeting to a close. And thank you all for attending and for participating, especially the counselors and the policy committee members and our new members. Especially as well, and so I hope we can continue these discussions on the mailing list and on the wiki, and you know, really kind of start focusing in on the different issues that we care about, and put our own individual time and energy into those issues, and then bring them back to the larger group. So again, I really appreciate your time and energy today, and we'll do this again next month. And so thank you very much. Bye bye.
Okay.